Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven veils full of the seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and at 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, and the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it was as it was transparent, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night at all, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Verse 27 in unison, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Thank God for the reading of His most precious and infallible word. The final union in heaven. You recall we started by explaining that we have three homes: our heavenly home, our church home, and our family home. Well, we have spent time concerning the establishing of the family home. We have spent time last evening concerning the church home. How are we to behave in the house of God? And now we are going to speak about our heavenly home, because that is where it matters. And we want to put it so clearly that the Spirit of God may bring to our hearts the truth so clearly, so wonderfully, so magnificently, so gloriously, that you don't want any other place but heaven. We have said that our earthly life is our training ground for our heavenly life. 60, 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years. Compared with eternity, it's not even a speck of sand when you compare 100 years with eternity. And so the Lord tells us that our earthly life is a temporal sojourn. The pain that we experience, the tears that we experience, the vicissitudes of life's misery that can come upon us is but temporal. And so the Lord wants us to see a perspective of eternity, so that we would have the strength to endure through this troublesome life, oftentimes filled with sorrow and grief. And oftentimes we find it so unbearable. But the Lord wants us to see and know that there is a glorious heavenly home that we would return to, that we will be going to soon. Right? The things that are, the events that are happening around us tells us that we are in that last moments of human history. And we have been spending much time speaking about that. In fact, last year, we spent the whole entire camp sharing concerning the coming of the Lord, that it is nigh, it is very, very near. And so we said we need to prepare. We must be a prepared people, preparing for heaven to come. But how to prepare? Well, we said that it begins over here with an understanding of how we ought to live this life. And we said that our earthly life is to be lived as strangers and pilgrims transiting to a better life. And when we have such a perspective, you realize that the murmuring, the complaining, the dissatisfaction will ease, will even cease as God shows us the life to come. And the Lord wants us to know that there is a heavenly, all that He has done in His created world is for a good purpose and design. Right? So when we begin, we said that we ask this question, why we are who we are. You recall? Why did God create the human race with a family system? Why do we have a heavenly Father? Right? You see in Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, answering that question to us. Right? He tells us that he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Why did God give us children? Well, we have spent time speaking about that. Why is the husband-wife union a type of the relationship to Christ? Now all this is going to come to pass soon, and the Lord wants us to understand and see. Right? That's why we have framed up this series of messages concerning the Christian home. Why God instituted the family. And we see the heavenly perspective. And then the Lord brings us to an earthly perspective. Why we are doing what we are doing in our families. The relations between the husband and the wife. We speak about procreation, parenthood. We speak about children. What is their role to their parents in the home? And we speak about the interaction after. How is the family, how are the members in the family to interact one with another? And so we said that the family altar is the center. God is the center. Christ is the center of the Christian home. And God's Word is the center. The Bible is the center. We said that no homes can be shaken if it is built upon the foundation of the Bible. And we spoke about the conflicts in the home. Why did conflicts arise? And what kind of conflicts that commonly occur in the family? And what is the remedy? Right, we have given you verses, the solution to this, what we said, peeving? No, I don't think so. If we are willing to put into practice the teachings of God's Word, then by the grace of God, right, the family would be harmonious and peaceful. And we spoke about the larger family, the church family, right? How our own family is placed by God in an extended family, the larger family, right? The church of God, the house of God, where we would come together. And we spoke about how we are to behave. Why is it that God, in His words, teaches us, right, behavior in the church? Because there is a modeling, right, concerning what God wants to do in our lives, that Christ may be formed in us, the final family union in heaven. So we said that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. When you commit your life to God, every night is a good night. Even if you may not, if you are unable to sleep, you have God with you to strengthen your hearts. Physically, you know, we go through difficulties. Right? Sometimes there are things that come into our lives that causes us not to be able to sleep. But we have that assurance that we have God with us. You know, we can commit our hearts to God, and every time we pray, you'll find that God's peace will tarry with us, and the joy would come again. Although prayers are not, what we said, answered yet, we don't know the outcome, but we know that by faith God will make a way, and we are satisfied with the leading of God. And we are willing to surrender, right, our cares to Him, so that He may, by His mercy, take care of them. And we spoke about the father-son relationship, how there are three aspects of that relationship, right? The existence, the likeness, the nourishing and the grooming. How, we spoke about the Father, how He is the source and originator of everything. Right? Hence, calling someone Father means He is the one who brings you about. By Him, we come about. So the earthly Father is a shadow of the heavenly Father, and subsequent function of the Father is to care and nourish and cherish and to teach, to educate the children. Right? So it typifies our Father, Heavenly Father, maturing us. And we spoke about the marriage relationship, how marriage was instituted by God in the ready paradise before the fall. And we spoke about the togetherness of the husband and wife, how they are one body, because Eve was not made from the dust of the ground, but he was taken out, he was a part of the body of Adam. And so that husband and wife relationship, that is a most united union among all relationships on earth, and how it portrays the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ, who bought us by His blood. That born is typified in the marriage relationship. And so we said that if the marriage were to break up, right, we said how devastating would that relationship be.
And the Lord tells us that that union is so intricate, the bond, the emotional bond between the husband and wife is so much a oneness that if it's to be broken, and we see it with our own eyes, families which are torn apart, how devastating it is. And it is not meant to be. And it portrays our relationship with Christ. That relationship is so precious. That bond is so great. So wonderful. And we spoke about the purpose of marriage. How it was ordained for mutual help, for comfort, whether in prosperity or in adversity. And it is ordained for the procreation of children, that children may be brought up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. And it is ordained for a remedy against sin, that such persons as have not the gift of continency might marry and keep themselves undefiled members of Christ's body. And we spoke about the conflict in the home. We said to the husband that he may so love his wife even as himself. And we said to the wife, see that she reverence her husband. We all know what reverence is all about. And we all know also what love is about, how it is an action word. We have spoken about, we have learned about the Christian love. 1 Corinthians 13. What is Christian charity? Love in action. And we spoke about children's attitude towards parents, how they are to obey. Right? The word means to hear, to take heed, and honor, and to honor involves not just the idea of obedience, but it condemns attitudes of resentment, anger, reluctance, and other forms of defiance. It is not just an external, mechanical obedience. And obedience without honor is hypocrisy. And we spoke about behavior in the church, the one another principles, how God prepares our heart first, and then He also sanctifies our mouth, and He prepares our hands that we may serve Him. And this is what we are doing as we are serving in the church. This is what God is molding, doing to us, maturing us. The one another principles. And so we realize that we are bounded together as a church family by the blood of Jesus Christ. And how we need to know how to behave in this new and extended family called the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And God brings us into this new family when we are baptized into the body of Christ. When we receive Jesus Christ, confess our sins, and you realize that by the mercy and grace of God, God is going to bring men and women to our midst. As God sanctifies your life, you become a vessel for the Master's use. And God will use you to share the gospel to men and women, and God is going to use His Spirit to touch their hearts, these prepared hearts, to receive Jesus Christ into their lives. And they will be added into the church, the family of God. And we need to be prepared, for as the Lord would bring people into our lives. But first we must prepare our lives. It must be a ready life to serve. We spoke about the house of God, how the church of God is this local church that God has created, that He will sanctify, bringing His people together, and how it is called the pillar and ground of truth. This is why we come to church camp like that. Spend time to study the Word of God, to know how we may be light shining for God. And we are in that movement toward eternity. The book of Revelation, we have read Revelation 21. We realize you want us to see that we are Revelation chapter 1 to 3 describes where we are now in the church age. And we are saying here that a time is coming when the church will be taken to glory. The rapture of the church is going to come anytime. We say that we are living in those last hours of human history. And then the time will come when the world will fall into great tribulation. God is going to judge the world. And finally, Christ is going to return. And you know how Christ will defeat the kingdom of the Antichrist? By His light. The shining of the light will pierce and destroy the kingdom, the dark kingdom of the Antichrist. When Christ comes, all darkness will be dispelled. And we are saying here that time is coming, and Christ will rule upon earth for 1,000 years, and the saints will be ruling with Christ. And before that, right, before the new heavens and new earth, before eternity would begin, God would judge, and the great white throne judgment. The world will be judged. The unbelieving will be judged. And the Lord tells us, Revelation chapter 4, immediately after the church age, John was made to see. He says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard as were a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must come thereafter. He was brought to see heaven, the throne room of heaven. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat upon the throne, the Father in heaven. John had a glimpse of the throne room of heaven. And he that sat upon him, he that was looked upon like a jasper. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 elders. The Lord wants us to see the glory of this, of God in heaven. How there was a rainbow, and the rainbow comes after judgment. The rainbow comes after judgment. How God made a covenant with His people, right, that He would bless His people. And here you see the 24 elders describing the church, the matured saints of Jesus Christ, all who have in their lifetime, well, did all the one another things. in the heart, in the mouth, in the hands. Right? And they would be there and seated. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders. Who are these? Well, these are the saints of God, all whom God will perfect. As you serve God in His body, God will reward you for the faithful service that you would render upon to Him. And He says here, clothed in white raiment, and they had their heads crowned, on their heads crowns of gold. Well, God would crown His faithful servants. And it says here, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns upon the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, and to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and will be. You realize that God is the Almighty First Cause. He created all things, whether we like it or not. We are placed upon earth by God, and He reveals to us who we are, what we are doing, why we are doing what we are doing, who we are. And unless He reveals to us from His Word, we won't know. That's why the church is entrusted with the Word of God. John was asked by the Lord Jesus Christ to write so that the church may know who we are. So we are the pillar and ground of truth. We know the future. And just before Revelation 21, you see the great white throne judgment. Remember? The great white throne judgment. After the rapture of the church, God would be judging the world by a great tribulation, 7 years. And then the millennium will come, 1,000 years where Christ will rule upon earth, and then the great white throne judgment. There is a judgment for the unsaved, and the Bible says here that after I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard of it was a trumpet talking with me, and said, Come up, Peter, and I will show you things which must be realized. So John was privileged to see, and God endowed him with His grace to write, so that we may know. And he that sat upon looked like a jasper. Here it says, and he that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. By the time we reach Revelation chapter 20, the heaven and the earth today will be destroyed. All of it. The Bible tells us that the islands would be destroyed. Singapore would be destroyed. No more. And if we would be, you know, casting our lot on earth, whatever that you own, right, you'll find that when the Lord comes, all this will be taken away. None of this you'll find would be useful in eternity. And so the Lord wants us to have a perspective of what we are to do with the resources that we have upon earth. Right? Invest for eternity, in other words. Invest wisely. Okay, and it says here, and I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up death, the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. You see that the time of judgment is coming, grave judgment. And it says here that, and death and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. He said, he that is born once will die twice. Right? You are born once in the physical life, you will die twice. You will die the physical death, and you will die the eternal death. The second death is what the Bible describes. But if you have the second birth, if you are born twice, then you die once. You die the physical death. When Christ comes again, he will resurrect you. You will be given a glorious body. And the Lord tells us that this body that of ours, we may fade away in many ways. Our bodies become weak, our memories become weak, but God will recreate it anew again. Right? And the Lord tells us that you have no loss when you have God with you. But he says that those who are without God, who depended on their works, they will fail miserably. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we better be sure. You better be sure that you are a child of God. You better be sure that you have been bought by the blood of Christ, or you have been washed by the blood of Christ. And you have been bought by Christ. Before we talk about heaven, many things we would say, but we want to talk about how it is a place of unquenchable fire. You don't want to be there for 1 millisecond. Terrible place. It's a place of memory and remorse. You would remember and regret how you have not taken the decision to accept Christ, the only way to God, for that to reconcile your relationship with the Heavenly Father. The misery and the pain of hell, the Bible tells us, is so great. It is a place of frustration, of anger. Very terrible. Place of separation, you will be separated from God for eternity. Separated and lost, cast, and a place of undiluted divine wrath. We say God is love, but God is also a judge. And God has given us time. If we will not respond, we have no fear of God in our hearts. Judgment will come swiftly. And when judgment comes, we cannot say that we have not heard the call. We cannot say we have not been warned. We have been warned, but we will not take heed. So the Lord tells us, take heed. Hearken while you can. It's a place prepared for Satan and his hosts. It's a place created for all eternity. It's a real place, the Bible tells us. Be careful, you don't want to end up there. And who are the occupants of hell? Satan. The Antichrist, the false prophet, the fallen angels, all unsaved people. And the Lord tells us that there is going to be a final separation. And that separation will be permanent. But God also tells us that He has made a new place for us, a place in heaven for the redeemed. And Jesus, while He was on earth, tells us that He has gone ahead to prepare for us. 2,000 years, and He's still preparing. But He says that He would be returning, and all the events that are taking place today tells us that He is returning very soon. And so Jesus says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in me, God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so the Lord wants us to see, I have searched for a good picture of the New Jerusalem, but I couldn't find one. The glory of it cannot be placed today in any image, but it must be in the image of our hearts by faith. And that's why I put it in this way. I present it through God's word, as God, as Christ gave to the Apostle John. Right? It says that the size of the city, 1,400 miles long, high and wide, it's a cube. Right? And the earth has approximately 120 million square miles of water surface and 60 million square miles of land surface. This is our present earth. Okay? If one multiply, right, 1,400 by 1,400 and 1,400, right, the cubic miles of the city is a staggering figure of 2,700,000 cubic miles, which is some 15 times the combined surface of the entire earth, include both land and sea. So the new heavens and the new earth is going to be very wonderfully great, very wonderfully magnificent. It is estimated that 40 billion people have lived on our planet, 40 billion, since the creation of Adam. And of this number, over 5 billion are living today. Density studies of the population assure us that every single one of these 40 billion could easily be accommodated upon just the first foundation floor of the marvelous 1,400 layers in the Kauri. So 1,400 layers, just one layer is enough to cover every one of us. Okay? So how many layers are there we are speaking about? We are speaking about 1,400 layers. So you cannot imagine the greatness, the vastness of that. And so God said, I saw a new heaven and a new for the first heaven and the first earth will pass away, and there was no more sea. So God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And He tells us that I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride for a husband. So the Lord wants us to see and understand how the new heaven and new earth will be created. And the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven into this new heaven and new earth. John saw it because he was brought up either to a high mountain, and he saw that movement. As a bride adorned to her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. I will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That closeness of the relationship that God has, you can depict it in a very feeble way. When God made the ready paradise, remember? When God made the whole universe, the earth was the focus. And when God made the earth, man was the focus. God made it the most habitable, beautiful environment before He placed man there. Right? There was a mist that comes out of the earth to water the entire earth. And it was so beautiful. Adam and Eve enjoyed it, but the beauty of this new heaven and new earth, the Lord wants us to see what far exceeds what this earth is. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more sorrow and tears. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So the Lord wants us to see, alright, that there will come a time when we don't need to cry anymore. Now we cry. Why is it that God, you know, make us such that, you know, when we are sad, emotional creatures, and when we are sad, tears will flow out, right, from our eyes. The Lord tells us that no more tears, no more judgment, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And the Lord wants us to see it with the mind's eye, so that we will look forward to that place. It says that He that sat upon the throne, remember the Revelation chapter 4, and tells us about the throne. It says that He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new. Whatever that we have will be destroyed." So don't bother about building an empire upon earth. No point. Even if it's freehold, right? It is no hold, right? Because you can't hold it for long. Okay? Yeah. And I will make all things new. And He said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." True and faithful. He will make sure that whatever He says will come to pass. And He said unto me, "It is that John saw the new heavens and the new earth created." And He says, "I am Alpha and Omega." When you see Christ speaking, "The beginning and the end, I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life." All who would come to Jesus Christ would receive life, life everlasting. Right? John said to the woman at the well, "He that would drink this water that I will give you shall never thirst again." Right? It will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This is the life we have with Christ. And not only for this short sojourn, but for eternity. And Lord wants us to see that you will not be thirsty. He will nourish you. And he that overcometh, He says, he that overcometh. Right, our earthly life is short. He wants you to overcome. Overcome means that He wants you to tarry with God, to do His will. Don't give up. "And I will be His God, and He shall be my son." The inhabitants of the city, who would be there in heaven? The holy and elect angels. The angel that did not fall. The church. The 24 elders. The saved Israel. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are the inhabitants of the city. And the Lord wants us to see the foundation of the city. How that city rests upon 12 layers of foundation stones, with each layer being inlaid with a different precious gem. We have been reading of it the different types of gems that were used, and the walls of the city, the walls of the cities of Jerusalem, very, very high and made of jasper, and the walls are not for protection but for design and for beauty. This writer, he puts it, he tells us that, you know, the Empire State Building, if you have been to see it, this and the Empire State Building in New York City, you'll be able to see that it is a far cry. It's just an inch compared with, you know, a 216 feet wall that surrounds this 1,400 mile high city. What are the features of the city? The river of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of the Lamb, and the tree of life in the city, in the midst of the street. On either side of the river was there the tree of life, and they bare 12 measure of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. What would be the activities, or who would recite in heaven? You'll find that in heaven will be all the resurrected bodies. Alright, we talk about the rapture. When the rapture will take place, you will be given a resurrected body. All who have died, we would have buried them. When Christ comes, they will be given a new body, a glorious body. And heaven will be a place of praise, singing, worship, a place of fellowship, a place of service, a place of learning of the plan and power of God and the person of God. And it will be a place without tears, sorrows, crying, and pain. Revelation chapter 21. The Lord wants us to see the beauty and the splendor and the glory and the nature of these precious stones. Right? How reflexive they are. Verse 11 or verse 10. It says here, He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, and having the glory of God, and her light was unto a stone most precious, even as jasper stone, clear as crystal. And the Lord wants us to see how that light that comes is shining through, the light of God coming through, shining, right? How the new Jerusalem, when it comes down, I was trying to find a picture that could describe the new Jerusalem, but I couldn't find one of that description. How it is full of light, right? How these precious stones allow the light to shine through. And the Lord wants us to see that when you put on the virtues of God, when you put on the virtues of God, the attributes of God, you would see how the glory of God, the light of God, His truth, His character would penetrate and shine through. This is the new Jerusalem. This is His body, the body of Christ that would descend from God into the new heavens and the new earth. And you see how, you know, the saints would put on, the light would come through, and not only would the light shine through, but the light would be reflected. The light would shine through, And as it goes through a prism, it would also reflect itself. Right? What is it reflecting? It is reflecting the virtues that is in us, the image and likeness of God. Right? Today, our sin hindered that light. But in that day, the New Jerusalem, the light would go right through. Right? You see a light shining through, the glory of God reflecting upon these stones. Right? And the light is a down light. Right? You see it coming from heaven, from God itself. Right? The Bible tells us that the New Jerusalem is full of light. And this light is the glory of God. Verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the light, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof, of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. The glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light. We would be reflecting the glory of God in the heavens. I cannot imagine, in the sense that, you know, I imagine it with my mind's eye what it will be. But the glory of it, you know, I couldn't find an image. I searched through search and search. I couldn't find an image to describe that glory. It says here, the city had no need of the sun, neither moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. How can the glory of God shine through His people? Well, no more sin. No more defilement. God is the light. You know, in creation, the Lord said, the first thing that God created was light. Light. Let there be light. In the new heaven and new earth, you will see this light shining through. And the tabernacle of God will be with men. God will dwell with men in its perfection. This is the great and precious promise that God has given to us. Peter wrote, he says, "Blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." 1 Peter 1, 4 to 6, or 3 to 6, 3 to 5. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. And then in 2 Peter, he tells us, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. God wants us to, by learning, imbibing his character through his word, to be partakers of his nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. The reunion in heaven. The Lord tells us that we are nearing that time. We are now living here, going to this time where the Antichrist kingdom will arise. And the Lord wants us to be prepared. Right. Today, we are here, 2016. And we have given you the mission. What you are to do as a family, what we are to do as a church family, and that we are to be a prepared people, ready for Christ's return. That will be a time of consummation. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Is your family ready? The Lord wants you to prepare. And He wants you to be ready. May the Lord be merciful. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy mercy. May Thy grace be with Thy people. We thank Thee for showing to us the heaven to come. But this earth is not a place that we would long to stay as a permanent home. But we have a more sure home that Christ has gone ahead to prepare for us. And He is coming again to receive us. May Thou be gracious to prepare Thy people to receive, to be received as Thy bride to our heavenly kingdom. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.